Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. Happy Soggy Thursday. Looks like we made it through Hurricane Michael, so that's good. And in our broadcast bungalow today, we have attorney Jason Swindle and his associate attorney Kawana McMichael of the Swindle Law Group.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, Kawana.
Good morning.
You're new to these august microphones, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're going to get into that in a little while. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Well, you know, I was talking to the chief last night, and we were kind of getting, we were waxing philosophical about the underpinning legal matters and philosophies that sort of were the basis of the recent Kavanaugh hearings and just sort of the allegations and the responses and all of that that's been swirling in, well, everywhere we've been looking. So we thought it was great of you guys to agree to come on today and talk about with us, at least to begin with. Oh, by the way, how's that for a cliffhanger? By the way, we're on Facebook Live. So if you'd like to watch this and see two out of three beautiful people, I'll let you guys decide which are the two. At the table today, we'd love to have you on WLBB's Facebook Live and watch in that way. But anyway, so talk about the first principles of due process. What were some of the underlying issues, constitutional and law enforcement issues, that underpinned all the rest of what ended up being kind of circus-like, but very important, Jason?
Well, you said circus-like.
Did you?
That's what I think of regarding the United States Senate in general.
In general?
Yes.
You think so too, Kalana?
Yes.
Yeah, me all too. 100 or all 99 right
There's
got
to be some. Do you think there's some exceptions?
Well, no, there are some exceptions, but when you watch these, quote, hearings take place.
Oh.
This goes back to Justice Bork in 1987. Mm-hmm.
How old
President
are you then?
Reagan. I was in seventh grade.
Were you?
Yeah, seventh grade. And I remember watching the, quote, hearings. And I remember Ted Kennedy.
I was just about to say Ted Kennedy.
It started then. These, quote, hearings, which are not really an inquisition. They are more senators making statements to a nominee, and senators who have already made their mind up the minute that a president nominated somebody for the Supreme Court, and they're there to be on camera in front of their constituents, and that applies to both parties.
Research question. I will look it up. The Bork hearings, yeah, I remember them too. I was a little older than seventh grade, I must say, but I'm wondering if it was close to a to an election year.
Well, in 1988, President Bush was elected, H.W. Bush, so it was fairly close.
Yeah, okay.
I was young, but I'm familiar with most of what happened.
Well, and then we heard the word Bork this time just being verbed. So that
it
Robert
is a verb now. I think it's in Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
Is it really?
Is a verb. I could be wrong, but
somebody look that up for us
be.
and text me. Tell me whether or not Bork is a verb now in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. If it isn't, it doesn't matter. It'll be in the Urban Dictionary. So do you think this is the first time that the Bork, I was going to say fiasco, and maybe it was, incident, was?
Well, no. It's happened just about every time with the exception of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I believe that she was confirmed with a unanimous vote the year before Judge Bork was rejected by the Senate. You had Justice Scalia, who I think received a 96-0 vote. Justice Breyer in 1994 was almost unanimous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of strange. You had Bork and Justice Thomas, who mm-hmm. was treated probably the worst of any nominee.
That was a 91?
That was 91.
Mm-hmm.
Not 90, 91. Mm-hmm. He was one of George H.W. Bush's nominees.
Yep.
But you had a little flow there. And since, I suppose, President Obama nominated, was it Kagan first? or
Sotomayor.
Okay, Sotomayor.
Kagan first.
I think it was Kagan. Yeah, Kagan, I think you're right, Kawana.
When I saw that, I mean, I knew Republicans, for the most part, would vote against her. All Democrats would line up for her. Mm-hmm. And there would be some Republicans who would vote for her, because some people believe that elections do have consequences. And the president, for the most part, whoever that person is, mm-hmm. these nominees are for him to pick.
I think people, Kawana, maybe you can talk about this with me a little bit. I think people of goodwill, however, appreciate the idea of a Supreme Court that has a variety of viewpoints.
Yes.
So, I mean, I even though I'm conservative, I wouldn't want just 100% conservatives on, and I might be alone in that. But what are your thoughts about that? And then I want to talk about some sort of underpinning due process kind of questions.
Yes. When I think about American justice, that's what I think about is diversity.
Yeah.
And so on your court, you want your court, I would want as a citizen, my court to reflect American values that people hold all over America. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you get the justices. Having a one-sided court only doesn't really benefit us. Doesn't
right.
make us diverse and make our country work, in my opinion.
So the question that I keep thinking about is, I think that we all really, in theory, agree that diversity of opinion is really important, but our conversations aren't happening anymore.
No, I don't believe in a two-party system. I think there just needs to be more moderation in our system, and I think this is where we're getting the circus idea of it's just us versus them.
Mm-hmm.
And most Americans, regardless of whether you're conservative or liberal or moderate, can probably pretty much agree that this is not the government that we want. It's not effective.
Well, it's not working. I mean, and there have been some changes to the Constitution, I think, that have led to this. For example, the way senators are, they have lifetime appointments if they want to, right? I mean, they can
basically
go yes. ahead and talk about that. We are going to get to the due process, I swear.
There was a time when the state legislators actually voted in
the senators.
U.S. senators.
That made the senators directly answerable to the leaders of their states.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Now,
it is huge.
Yeah.
Now people, of course, the general population votes, and that's how a senator is elected. So there have been some changes that have undermined some of the basic fundamental principles of the protections that the Constitution provides us. But it's the atmosphere that Kawana was mentioning a few minutes ago of the almost hatred.
I wouldn't say almost.
It is hatred.
Yeah, I think so too.
Some of my best friends on Facebook will be going back and forth, and all of a sudden, profanity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Things that I have to erase from my page.
Or these declaratives. If you think that, you must
yes.
be a...
Or mean, you're not American if you believe this.
Un-American.
Yeah, un-American.
Or you're racist if you are conservative. You mm-hmm. know, things like
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
are just... to me, it's just shockingly embarrassing.
And that would lead us, if we were going to go down this other path, which we're not, but it would lead us to a conversation about just the decline of civility. And this isn't the first time. I mean, you know, we've seen it before. But instead, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to hear from Tanner Health System. When we get back, we're going to talk with Kawana McMichael, brand new associate, right? Associate
yes.
attorney at the Swindle Law Group, and Jason Swindle himself. And we're going to talk, we're going to get down to the basics and to the, just so that we get a bit of a civics lesson from both of you. Okay. So we'll be back in 60 seconds. That's what's lined up. Stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Some Rocky Mountain High, if I am not... No, what's it called? Rocky Mountain Way? That's Rocky Mountain Way, Joe Walsh. Is that right?
It is.
All right.
No idea.
A little before your time.
I just said it was because I think maybe it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
Not 100%.
Well, I think if we're wrong, my beloved will be texting me soon and telling me to get it straight. Anyway, hey, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you. Welcome to the second segment of this October 11th edition of Community Voice. We are here with Kawana McMichael. Kawana McMichael, and what are your letters at the end? Attorney at law, anyway.
Yes.
I was gonna say PhD, but I know it's not that. But you have a terminal degree.
Well, JD. Esquire.
You'd think I know. My daughter just got her JD.
I think culturally, we just really have our name, attorney at law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. Anyway, so I just wanted to make sure that you got all of the props for it, because I know having... married to an attorney, mother of an attorney, not easy.
To win an argument.
Well, but also, you know, getting through school, getting established, no small feat. Jason Swindle, Swindle Law Group. Let's get back to our conversation about the justice system and whether or not we thought that it prevailed last week. Let's not talk about last week too specifically in this segment. Let's talk about the first principles of our legal rights, due process under the law. Jason, can you tell us what, theoretically, what rights do we have, do all Americans have?
Due process is a very broad term, and it means different things in different countries. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly care what other countries think and do. So in America, what it means is basically the government cannot take things like property, your liberty, your life, without due process of law. There has to be some process. There has to be perhaps an arraignment or a trial. We don't have a king who wakes up not feeling well in the morning and says, I don't like my neighbor too much, we'll put him in the dungeon.
Used to.
Now, that's true, and that's what our Constitution is based on. But the Due Process Clause is mentioned twice in the Constitution. The first one's the Fifth Amendment, and that covers 100% criminal law and procedure. But it's only applicable to the federal government. So the 14th Amendment has another due process clause which applies the federal due process clause to all 50 states and maybe the territories, I'm not sure. So basically that covers everyone, and it's one of the most important concepts of the republic that we live in.
So in a nutshell, due process includes presumption of innocence until proven guilty, Kawana?
That's something separate. That's the guarantee to us by the Constitution. It's something that we take very seriously as criminal defense attorneys. Essentially, the government cannot take your liberty from you, which is similar to due process, because you have to have the due process of the law. You have to be arraigned. You have to have an opportunity to speak for yourself, and the state has to prove your guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
And the right to face your accuser. Right?
Yes, the Confrontation Clause, and that's basic to our constitutional justice. You have the right to see the person that's making the accusation against you, and you have the right to cross-examine them, and that means question them about what they're saying you did or did not do.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty elementary, really. You know, someone says you do something, and then Jason,
it's elementary today.
Yes,
when you lived under kings. In the families of kings for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you were used to seeing your relatives beheaded and your home burned and your money taken, that was not elementary at that point in time.
I would like to point out that that is happening on planet Earth, somewhere on planet Earth today.
Definitely.
Many places on planet Earth.
It's unfortunately human. Yeah. It's human nature.
Right.
In a way.
Well, yeah.
And it's elementary now because we have a strong rule of law in America. Mm-hmm. And other countries are just developing their rule of law.
That's true.
And so they don't. It's not as elementary to them.
So would you say that we have still a pretty revolutionary in the long view of human interactions since I don't know when, since Moses was in diapers or something?
Are you asking about my opinion on the quality mm-hmm. of our criminal justice system? I'll say this: we have the best in the world.
Oh,
we have a lot of things that need to be changed, that are going to be difficult to change. But if we have people like Governor Nathan Deal, who have stepped up and risked his political future.
How did he do that?
Well, we've talked a little bit in the past about drug courts, accountability courts, mm-hmm. taking nonviolent drug offenders out of state prisons where we pay $35,000 a year to keep someone.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Deal has been at the forefront and has been assisted by people like Senator Mike Dugan in getting these reforms that are much needed and bipartisan through the Senate and House. And I think he's probably got 25 bills that have been signed over his 8-year tenure, maybe more, that make Georgia a much better place, not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But a much better place than 8 years ago.
In the sense that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, today we have people, instead of me, the taxpayer, paying for someone with a drug addiction
mm-hmm.
to sit in a jail and do nothing and not pay taxes, now that person is on probation.
Mm-hmm.
That is much less expensive. That person has the opportunity to work, pay taxes, and the cost of the Department of Corrections goes down.
Second chances.
Yes, yeah. Right? Rehabilitation.
Yeah. And so with the with the recent influx of jobs in the United States, that's probably much more likely.
It's just icing on the cake.
Yeah.
It is.
So, okay, Kawana, have you done jury trials?
Yes,
ma'am. You probably do that a lot.
Yes.
So maybe you can answer this question for me. What, when a jury is impaneled, do the members get a sort of a quick primer on what their duties are, the presumption of innocence, just sort of these, how to be a juror that's as impartial as possible?
Well, the process is designed to teach them as we go along. So during the selection process, we do, as attorneys, go over impartiality and what we need from a juror.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody comes with their bias, and we try to decide whether these jurors will be a great juror for our case. And then in our closing arguments, generally, is where we kind of teach jurors what these big concepts of presumption of innocence and beyond a reasonable doubt and burden of proof are. During that process, and apply them to the facts that they just heard in the case, because it's easier to understand these concepts when you combine them with facts, because they're such huge concepts like presumption of innocence or the burden of proof.
That must be really hard on you guys, because everything I'm just going to go out on a limb. Everything we really know about the justice system, we probably learned in Law and Order and the OJ case, and that kind of
CSI,
yes, CSI, right,
yes.
Right, and so. We know it's not quite like that. And
well, it's so good when people think that sometimes.
Yes.
But
that's interesting. Before we go to our next and last break, I want to just ask one more question for either of you. Why is it necessary why was it a great idea to depict Lady Justice holding, what was it, the scales of justice? Does she have a sword in the other hand?
Some versions, I think she has a sword. Sometimes she has a shield.
A shield,
also.
Okay. But more importantly, she has a blindfold on. Yeah, why must justice be blind?
It's just supposed to be equal for everybody. Everybody wants to get the same treatment. And when we start giving preferential treatment to certain people based on race, based on affluency, based on class, it doesn't seem fair. And that's not our ideals of American justice. Mm-hmm. And so she must be blind. And in our experience, she's not at times, but we're getting closer to her being blind. And that's when justice, when people can put faith in the system, because if she's not blind, people do not trust the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have vigilante type things and just disorganization and anarchy. And so that's not what we want.
You know, you said anarchy. And we do see just sort of vestiges, maybe just intimations of anarchy. When we perceive that... that things are not being, lots of passive voice. I'm an English professor. Yes. I don't know. So when we see that our officials are getting special treatment, for example, or not being held to account, whereas somebody else would be in big trouble for doing the same thing.
But sometimes that public official is going to be punished twice as much to be made an example of. I've seen that too.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's unfair as well. Yes. You know, they may have a higher standard of care to the community and higher responsibilities, but punishing people based on their status, that in and of itself is unfair.
Yeah. Well, on that very interesting point, we're going to take a break and we're going to hear from Tanner Health System. And when we get back, I want to talk all things Kawana McMichael, because I think that's going to be very interesting. So stick around, everyone. 60 seconds. You know the drill. We'll be right back.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
This is a good place to start. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Community Voice. You know the drill. Lori Wilson here, Jason Swindle of Swindle Law Group, and new associate Kawana McMichael. Jason, how did you find this gem at the green microphone?
First of all, I'm extremely grateful that I did, but it was quite a while back. To briefly summarize how I know Kawana, I met her father probably 30 years ago because he taught me karate.
Oh, wow, that is so cool.
Yes. And I think that he did that for maybe 30-plus years and taught many young people in this community Taekwondo.
Did he have his own dojo?
Yes.
That is really cool.
On Columbia Road for the longest.
Wow.
And he just a great guy. And then one day, Kawana and I were talking, and I find out that she's a first-year law student. And we have a vigorous clerk program at the firm. So she clerks her first year, okay? At the same time, I have an oral argument before the Georgia Supreme Court coming up. She basically wrote the brief. I argued the brief that a first-year law student wrote.
And you prevailed.
Now, no, I didn't prevail. I didn't have much on my side there, but I never forgot that. And I said, "She's coming back here.
Wow,
may not be tomorrow, but she is coming back, and here she is, and we're grateful.
So, Kawana, which law school did you attend?
I went to the University of Georgia. Go Dogs.
Yes!
Go Dogs.
I got a dog. I got a dog alumnus, but too. Good for you. Okay. So, is this your first gig out of law school?
No. I previously was a public defender in Augusta. Oh. I'm actually a non-traditional student. I have two children. My son's birthday's today.
Oh,
Isaiah.
Happy birthday. What's Hosea?
Isaiah.
Happy birthday, yeah. Isaiah.
He's turning 14 today.
Oh, man.
So my previous life, my ex-husband played in the NFL for 11 years, Randy McMichael. And then I went back to law school, and I'm back here in where I'm from.
Well, we're glad to have you back. Yes. And so happy birthday.
Oh, to
Isaiah. You were pretty busy 14 years ago today?
Yes, very busy.
Well, okay, so you decided to pursue the law.
Yes. What made me do that?
Yeah.
I come from, my family's roots are in Coweta County. My grandmother integrated, and my mother did integrate in Coweta County. And so I just have a really strong feeling for justice.
Yeah.
And at first I thought I was going to go into sports law because of my background, but my heart is in defending. My heart is in making wrongs right to the best that I can.
Do you ever defend, I just wondered this.
That's fine, people.
Do you defend people that you know are guilty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't concern myself with guilt.
Okay.
I concern myself with justice. I feel like when the police and the state does their job, the right thing is going to happen.
Okay.
The right thing is going to happen. And when the state does not do their job, we also have to make sure that our state, we just talked about blind justice mm-hmm. and due process and them not taking people's liberty away. We can't let them get sloppy. Then they can take everybody's liberty mm-hmm. away. I come from a base where I'd rather see 10 people walk free who are guilty than to see one innocent person go to jail and mm-hmm. take their liberty away. Imagine how traumatic that is for you not to have done anything and then you go to prison.
Yeah, my daughter works for the California Innocence Project, and she has a few exonerees that she's really proud of that, you know, were so they were the product of that real that problem you just articulated. So that's fantastic. What were you going to say, Jason?
Well, I agree with everything that she just said, and when she talks about people or talks about you would rather see a number of people who are guilty go free than one person who's innocent going to prison,
mm-hmm.
I agree with that 110%, because I'll tell you, there are people in state prisons in Georgia who have not committed any crime whatsoever.
Yeah.
We're humans. The criminal justice system mm-hmm. is made up of human beings who have thoughts.
You guys
don't always get it right.
Right. And, you know, it's just human nature can be so harsh sometimes,
yes.
you know. And so, I'm really glad that you're here. I'm glad that you've joined our community. Where were you practicing before you got here?
Augusta.
Oh, you just said so.
Yes.
Augusta. Okay. So, all right. We have 2 minutes left. I want to give you guys each a minute, 2.5 minutes, but let's pretend we only have 2 minutes left. give us something to be thinking about today related to what we've been talking about.
I'll let Jason go first.
Okay, Jason.
Well, think about this. When you're accused of something, whether it be a crime, whether it be something that is reprehensible,
mm-hmm.
do you want to be assumed to be guilty or innocent?
That's been a big question that we've been talking about the last couple, 3 weeks.
And if it happened to you, how would you feel?
Right. Okay. And therefore, Kawana?
Yes, one of the things I would like to talk about, especially being home, and we were talking about the us versus them, is that I would like people just to remember that we have more in common than we have dissimilar. And just talk to people who don't share your beliefs. You'll find that they do have a reason that they believe what they believe. And we'll become a better community.
That is so true. We don't engage in enough conversation and reaching across the ideological spectrum.
Yes.
So rather than just be maybe repulsed when someone disagrees with you, lean in.
Yes.
And just say, tell me why you
tell
think
me why.
That. One last.
Well, it's pretty thought. Easy. Just be a gentleman or a gentle lady
mm-hmm.
and agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I think we should listen before we decide, right?
Yes.
I mean, after the whole thing is over.
I do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I've changed my beliefs based mm-hmm. on, oh, I didn't think about it like that.
At the very least, you know that there are real human beings.
We're all human. And we're all
people
American.
Of goodwill. Right. Okay. Well, I'm getting a little choked up, apparently. Thank you so much, both
Thank
of you,
you,
for being with us. Please come back sometime. Everyone, Jason Swindle, Swindle Law Group, welcome Kamana McMichael, newly minted associate thereof. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Stay safe and have some conversations with people with whom you disagree. I double dirty dog dare you.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.